I'm not sure if it is something that is built into me or if it's just the way things have evolved as a part of our fellowship here, but you all know that when I am here, I preach. That just never changes much. I don't know, like I said, I can't give an explanation for all of that other than that's just how I feel led. But today I am here and I'm not going to preach. Someone else is, and I want to introduce you to this person. He has been pastoring and preaching for 59 and a half years. He has shared the gospel in word and in deed on 5 continents. He has served as pastor of 10 different congregations. He has pastored an international church as a member of the International Mission Board. He currently serves as the associate pastor of Westside Baptist Church in El Dorado, Arkansas. He holds a degree in biblical studies from Ouachita Baptist University, and he holds an advanced degree in theology and divinity from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He is the extremely proud parent of 1 daughter and 1 son. He is now a proud grandparent of 2 grandsons. And now an even prouder grandparent of 2 granddaughters-in-law. And now he is the great-grandfather of 3 grandchildren, great-grandchildren. All of that to say that I'm introducing you to my father, Reverend Gerald Scott Perry, Sr. I believe someone referred to him already today as the original. There is no doubt that that is a title well suited to him. But I would say original and probably final, because whatever I have become that is owing to what he has built into me and demonstrated before me pales in comparison to who he has always been. While our paths have not been the same, they have always been directed to the same end. And while our course over these years has shared many moments, there are many that have been separated as well. All of that to say that my dad is here this weekend, and it occurred to me as they were coming, and I knew they were going to be here on Sunday, I don't know how many more opportunities this moment will bring. And I didn't want this one to pass without taking advantage of it. So it is with great pride, with great joy, with great confidence that I introduce you to our speaker today, Reverend Gerald Perry, Sr. Dad, come and share with us.
We're glad to be with you, and we, with great pride, point to our son and his ministry here, and Kathy and the boys, and now the great-grandchildren as they continue to increase in number. May their tribe increase. We're thrilled to death, and it's you know how it feels. Most of your grandparents are great-grandparents as well. But we do enjoy our ministry and our work, and we're still staying very, very active as associate. I preach every other Sunday night there at Westside Baptist Church in our small groups. Some of our older citizens that we minister to and our senior adults, they don't like to get out and drive around town and try to navigate getting into strange places where they have small groups. And so they would like to come to the church, so that's okay. Just come on to the church. We'll have a service there. I teach a Sunday school class every Sunday morning. And then, of course, occasionally, just to keep my pencil sharp, we get to fill in supply work maybe once or twice a month for some of the churches in our association that may be a little Maybe they're without a pastor. One I preached for 2 weeks ago called a pastor last Sunday. So we're grateful that Salem is now on their feet with a pastor on the field and being able to minister. So we're grateful for the privilege of being able to still produce the goods to a degree. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to a very familiar passage of Scripture in Romans 10. We're going to look at verses 9 through 17. When Scott called and asked if I would preach for him on Sunday morning, Sunday night, you know, man, I was thrilled to death. So after we hung up the telephone talking to him, and we usually talk, I guess, once a week or sometimes more. But nevertheless, as soon as I hung up the telephone, I went to my word processor and I said, "Lord, can you give me something to share?" And so we began to build what we want to share with you this morning from the book of Romans, a very precious verse of Scripture to me, one I have used many times in leading many boys and girls and men and women, people who do not speak English, to the Lord Jesus Christ in the plan of salvation, in soul winning, in personal soul winning and visitation. You know, we're conditioned by the world in which we live. You know, music is an example of how our lives are shaped. I've enjoyed the music this morning. You know, I came from the old school where we had hymn books. Y'all still have hymn books? No. Well, occasionally I preach in churches where they still have hymn books. We have praise teams. We have praise services. And you know, I've said to our senior adults, listen, when we were doing it, we did it our way. When they're doing it, then let them do it their way. And I can enter into the worship, and I tell you, the songs, the music spoke to my heart that we've heard this morning. And I appreciate it so very, very much. But you know, when you listen to music, it's amazing how we're prone to think about what the music, not so much where it came from, where it was a great musical composition, but when you hear the William Tell Overture, what do you think about? Do you think about the great musical age? Or do you think about the Lone Ranger? Uh-huh. Yeah, I do too. I do too. Music kind of has a way of influencing it, influencing our lives. Another song that sounds like I've been working on the railroad. But you know, when you grow up in Texas, the very tune of that "I've been working on the railroad" is "The Eyes of Texas Are Upon You." And I tell you, we lived there for about 20 years as missionaries and in that strange country and thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, that's where our daughter was born, where our son was raised. And so we enjoyed it very, very much. Another song, "Sweet Georgia Brown." I remember one time going to watch the Globetrotters. And that "Sweet Georgia Brown" began to kind of ring a note. And I've always remembered it since. And every time I hear it, I think about the Harlem Globetrotters and their magic on the basketball court. And then, of course, you know, Southern pride kind of swells when we hear "Dixie." Someone said when I moved to St. Louis that I had left the South and went north. And I said, no, the Mason-Dixon line is north of St. Louis. But you know, Dixie, it has been maliciously maligned a lot of ways. But whenever I hear it, I still swell with pride because I was raised in the South. And did you realize that the song was written by a Northerner? But nevertheless, it's one we use as kind of one that stirs our hearts with pride in the South. And so just as we often are shaped by our environmental setting, our evangelistic zeal should be shaped by God's Word. That's the reason I've asked you to turn to this passage in Romans 10. I want to read it all, and then we'll come back, and you hold your place, and we'll break it down and look at it closely. Paul said to the church in Rome in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. May we pray. Dear Lord, guide our thoughts as we look into your word, as we speak on this very, very important subject of remembering salvation. For Lord, we get taken up so much in programs and ministries and other activities, and we fail to remember that which made us a part of the family of God. Salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Touch our hearts and cause us to always remember our salvation. You know, as I think of these verses of Scripture, I first of all point you to verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I want you to remember how personal salvation became public salvation. It started as a personal matter, but it became a public matter. I remember when I sat at the end of my pastor's desk on a Monday afternoon as a 10-year-old boy. First Baptist Church in Osceola, Arkansas is where we were living and where we were attending and very much involved. Brother Club, Russell Club, shared with me the plan of salvation. For the first time, I understood that Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins. And he led me to understand the scripture and led me in prayer. As on our knees, we prayed, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. I asked him to forgive me of my sin. And I turned over to him the sin problem of my life. Salvation came. I wasn't permitted to be baptized until several years later because, I don't know, mother had the idea that you need to be 12 before you make that decision public. And so I was no problem. I just waited till I was 12. When I was exactly 12, I went forward and made public what I had made private when I was a 10-year-old boy. And I remember very well my baptismal service. One of my best friend was in the water with me, Joe Wells. Joe and I were baptized together. I was first and he was second. I'll never forget that experience of accepting Christ as my Savior. Because as a 10-year-old boy, a peg was driven down in my life from which all the rest of my life has swung. I became a child of God. I became a member of the family of God. I could pray my Father which art in heaven. He was, he is, and he remains to be my Father. in heaven. And one day we'll be together for an eternity. You know, the Lord is clear that if we possess a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then our faith must be expressed publicly. It must be shared. It cannot just remain within the confines of our heart and our life. The key to our salvation shows on the outside with the presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside. You see, when you're saved, you're going to get all the Holy Spirit you're going to ever get. It's just how much of you does He possess. From that moment on, it's a matter of surrender on our part. One lady came to me and asked me, she said, "Oh, Brother Perry, have you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Oh, yes, yes. Isn't it wonderful? It happened as a 10-year-old boy at the end of my pastor's desk when I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. She was trying to roll up the window of her car because she had something else in mind. But I have never gotten away from that experience." Yes, it's been a matter of surrender from that moment on to the very Holy Spirit of God. You know, we should be so full of the love of Jesus that we cannot wait to share it with others. I could tell several experiences, kind of scary, through the years about leading a person to Christ and asking them, "Is there someone real close to you that you can share what has happened?" And inevitably, there's someone who says yes. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a brother, maybe it's a neighbor. But you know, it helps us to verbalize that experience that we've had. It helps us to share it because, you see, our personal salvation becomes a public salvation according to the Scripture. Let me tell you about an experience in the summer of 1988. A very tragic thing happened in the state of Texas on the border town of Brownsville. On a hot, seemingly uneventful day in downtown, department store collapsed. And the store was full of customers as well as employees. There was absolutely no warning that it was going to take place. It was not a storm, a tornado, or anything of that nature. And many of the shoppers and employees were caught beneath the rubble of that twisted steel and concrete as it came crashing down, bringing great tragedy to that city. Rescue workers immediately began working. They worked around the clock. They worked for several days, bringing the people out. You know, at first, the rescue teams made many exciting discoveries of victims that were alive and okay. When they finally were freed from the debris, it wasn't until they were taking one lifeless body out of that debris, things began to take on a new meaning. The time went on, and that they discovered this young man. It was very grim. And as the workers slowly dug their way to the man, they feared for the worst. Certainly that became true, that he had expired. And there in the dust and rubble was another victim. It wasn't until they were taking that lifeless body from the tragic scene that they were startled at what the man had scrawled on the wall there beside him. In very cryptic letters, this Hispanic man had written, "Jesus es el camino." Translated in English, the man had written, "Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way." You know, when we have some very important news, we can't help but share it. We must tell others about what Jesus means to us. That's always our challenge as believers. He has brought salvation. He has brought an eternal home in heaven. The very presence of the Holy Spirit in our life as we live daily. And the zeal that comes to us through salvation, then we experience privately, we share publicly. God help us that we'll continue to do that. I know you do. For we know of the ministry of your church, the ministry to children. We have a vast ministry at Westside to children, not only in our daycare, but in our toddlers, and also in our school, Westside Christian School. Families that are ministered to. During the summer, our daycare program numbers in excess of 180 children every day, 5 days a week. Right now, since they're all in school, we're not doing the grades one through one and up in the elementary as much, because they're in the public school and also in the Christian school that's there in our church. And so their attendance is, their population is somewhat down to about 90. But what a joy it is to hear all the activity taking place in the building, in the ministry. We do ministry in South Texas. Our young people just came back from New Orleans. We do ministry in Africa. We have a group going to Africa with our music director. And we also do a ministry in Nicaragua. And we're in the process of sending, I know you are also involved. This is all taking the message of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth. Not leaving it entirely to our International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, but we're also involved in this ministry of expressing that personal experience, making it public. Exactly what the Scripture tells us we should do. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see, it happens privately, but then it's announced publicly. May it continue. Another point I want to share with you. I want you to remember how salvation for me became a Savior for all. Jesus, who's my Savior, is your Savior as well. In verse 11, it says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." You see, it's not because I'm special. No, not at all. But it's because that's the way salvation is. That's the way the Savior is. He's my personal Savior, but he's also your Savior. The Savior of all outside even our fellowship. Verse 13 tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. It reaches to the ends of the earth. It's been a joy to see others across the globe who have responded positively to Jesus in embracing him as personal Savior. I'll never forget the picture in India as the pastor. We didn't have time to do personal work. We were going from one meeting to another, and he just, at an intersection, he just opened the window of his car and he threw out all of those tracks. And man, the people ran from the streets and picked them up. And I looked back through the back window of that old car made in Russia. And those people were picking up those slips of paper with just the plan of salvation on it. And they were literally reading it, standing there in the street reading what they picked up. You do that in America, they look at you like you're crazy. You try to hand them something, they put their hands in your pocket. Cold and indifferent. Isn't it such a joy to see people that are hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because God loves them. He cares for them. You know, an evangelistic experience reminds us that we're not any more special than anyone else. I remember what my dad used to tell me. "Son, you're not any better than any of the other boys in our neighborhood. But I'll tell you something, you're still special to me, and you're special to the Lord. Well, it's a joy to know that I'm special to God. I'm special to my Heavenly Father. The difference between us and our neighbor is that we have realized God's love in Jesus, and we have made a response to Him. I pray, I hope that you have made that response before it's everlastingly too late. Nadia Comaneci was the first gymnast to ever score a perfect 10 at the Olympic Games. She collected 3 perfect scores in 1968 Olympics. When the judge was questioned about how she was able to score perfectly, he said this: a 9.7 or a 9.8 is technically a perfect routine or a perfect score. But to receive a 10, a competitor has to stir the soul of the judge. Well, Nadia Comaneci stirred the souls of the judges with her performance on that occasion. Let me tell you, birds and animals and insects, none of these stir the heart of God, who is our great judge, like humanity does. A human being, a little baby, a young boy, a young girl, none of the other plant life or animal life on planet Earth stirs the heart of God like we, human beings. Jesus died on the cross for us. God is so stirred by us that the death of His Son tells everyone how precious human life is. Makes no difference your language. Makes no difference your neighborhood. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Yet we must find new and creative ways of going to the masses and going to the people whom God loves. We need to change, because what fits here may not fit back years ago, but what fits now does fit. And in the future, we need to still be aware of their needs and do everything we can that we might reach those that God wants us to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it would be great if each and every one of us would make a commitment today. Lord, this week, as I live my life, give me an opportunity to share my faith. It may be with a neighbor. It may be with a cashier at a grocery store that's not busy. You're not holding up the line. It may be the attendant at the gas station where they give you money or do your credit card. You know, it's just amazing how you find. I remember a few weeks ago we were visiting hospital, pastor, myself, and our music director, and the gentleman came by, and I remember Brother Glenn Smarks. Glenn asked a young man, he said, "Is there something we can pray for you about in your life?" It was a Cracker Barrel. And the young man looked at him and he said, "Sir, that's a very unusual question. But yes, there is. This is my first day on the job at Cracker Barrel. And I desperately needed this job. Pray for me that I'll do my best that I might be able to keep this job." He said, "And by the way, I know the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. And I'm glad you asked me if there was something you could pray." And so we just stopped right there, drinking our coffee and getting ready for our breakfast. I said, "Let's just pray." And so we prayed together. It's amazing how you'll find those opportunities when we look for them. We've got to remember how a Savior for us becomes a Savior for all, and all are precious in His sight. And I want to close with this last part, that's verses 14 through 17, because I want you to remember how a Savior's mission becomes a sinner's message. I know we as Christians are saints. We're saints. We're special. Because God has saved us, and because we have the residence of the Holy Spirit in our life, and God's our Heavenly Father, and we're trying to teach our people that we're not just sinners saved by grace, but we're saints in a special relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And sometimes we forget that. But listen to the words and read them there in your book as well. In Romans 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Savior's mission is to become the sinner's message of salvation. And sometimes we forget. With all the billions of people in the world, the Bible is a message of God's love to each individual one. God saves us one by one. We are born into the family of God one at a time. Always remember that. That one you meet might be the one that needs your sharing salvation's message with them. The scripture says in 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We've got to surrender everything to become the messenger God wants us to be. You can't withhold anything. It's all or none. Lay every hindrance before the foot of the cross and witness for Jesus. Let nothing hold us back. You have no regrets. You'll have no regrets. Jesus warned the church at Laodicea, don't be lukewarm in Christian commitment. We all must rise above mediocre landscapes around us in order that we might glorify Jesus and glorify our Heavenly Father in heaven and share the message of His mission with those that need Him desperately. For you see, hell is real, just as heaven is real. And someone is waiting for you to share your faith with them.